us from Acts chapter 16.
This portion of God's word is entitled Paul and Silas in Prison. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the girl, said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer, who was commanded to guard them carefully, upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house, set a meal before them, and was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, John. Let's pray together. Father God, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. Father God, open our hearts and our minds this morning to hear what it is you want to say to us, what it is you have for us to learn. Father, we invite you to speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm
We won't play the whole lot. For those of you who don't know, hopefully it'll appear on the screen in a moment as well, that was the song Happy by an artist called Pharrell Williams. And it was probably one of the songs of the summer for the year that it was kind of produced or released. It's full of kind of happy, feel-good vibes, isn't it? And upbeat rhythms. How many of you have heard it? I saw some of you kind of shimmying along in your seats. They are really simple, catchy lyrics, aren't they? And I'm sure some of you wanted to clap during the chorus, even though perhaps you were restraining yourselves. The overall theme of that song is that when you believe in the power of love and happiness, nothing can bring you down. There are no limits to happiness. And it's no wonder it was a popular song when it was released in 2014 because of that message of happiness and hope and that, you know, if you're happy, nothing can stop you. But I have a concern about songs like that. Because when we buy into that message, we can get stuck with the idea that happiness is all there is. Happiness is what we need to get through life. But you know, happiness can be fleeting. It can come and go depending on what's happening around you and what's happening to you and what's happening in the lives of the people you care about. Or perhaps more broadly, it can disappear when you see perhaps the troubles that are going on in the world. Happiness is a great feeling. We all want to be happy, don't we? I'm happy when the sun shines. Not so happy when it's windy and raining and miserable. But happiness is not all there is. You know, the Bible talks about something else, more powerful and something more lasting. And it is something that is available for us all. And it's the focus of our service this morning as we continue in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. It's not clicking on. Click on. Thank you. So this morning we are thinking about joy. And joy is different to happiness. And if it is, then we need to understand what we mean by joy and what the Bible means by joy. The first thing I want us to understand this morning is that joy isn't like happiness, which is based upon happenings or whatever things are going well or not for us. Joy remains, even in the midst of suffering. Just think back to our reading this morning that John read for us from Acts 16. You know, there wasn't a lot of happiness in that situation. Paul and Silas kind of stopped, cured this slave girl of her evil spirits, and her owners didn't like it, so they got thrown into jail after being beaten. So there's suffering and there's hurt going on for those guys. And yet, we read in the story, at midnight, chained up in the innermost part of the prison, Paul and Silas are singing out their praises to God. No matter what was going on, they had this sense of joy. And then in the very last verse that we read together, when the jailer kind of understands everything and he receives God in his life, when he accepts God, he is filled with joy. So joy isn't happiness. Joy is an emotion that's acquired by the anticipation or the acquisition or even the expectation of something great or wonderful. It could be described as exhilaration or delight or sheer gladness. It can come from a great success or from a wonderful experience. Perhaps you might have experienced this kind of sense of joy at a wedding or at a graduation or some other special, memorable kind of occasion like that. Maybe the joy for a wedding is that it's finally there and all the build-up is done and dusted. I was suit shopping on Monday. There wasn't much joy in that, but anyway. However we understand joy, it is important to remember that the definition of joy that the world holds is not nearly as amazing as the biblical sense of joy. Because joy is not just an emotion. Joy is also a gift. And in Paul's letter to the church in Galatia, the book of Galatians, which is in the New Testament, Paul lists a number of fruits or characteristics that grow within us as a result of our relationship with God and through the power of his Spirit. He describes this fruit in contrast to the sins of the flesh that he is urging the Galatian church to avoid, to step away from. Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. And as we read these words from Paul, we see that joy is one of the fruits or the results of having an indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, joy is not something that you can fake. You either have it or you don't. But the question is, how do we get it? Well, here we go. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Because joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit that grows within us from the Holy Spirit. But when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we allow Jesus into our lives, that's when we begin to get this fruit. But what do I mean by that? I mean that we accept the stories that we've heard about Jesus. His life, his teaching. We recognize that they're true and we recognize that they're relevant for us. That's how we allow Jesus into our lives. And we recognize that Jesus wasn't just a good guy or a great teacher, that he was more than just a charismatic preacher, but that he was who he said he was. He was and is the Son of God. And we understand that Jesus came from heaven to save the world through his life, his death, and his resurrection, overcoming death so that each one of us can have a relationship with God. You know, God is all goodness and cannot be near evil. Just as night and day are separate, just as light and dark can't exist in that same space together. You know, it's darkness, you turn a light on, and the darkness is banished, isn't it? So it is with God. Our sin, the stuff that we've done in our lives that mess things up, our sin prevents us from having a relationship with God. And it's our sin that Jesus deals with through his death and resurrection on the cross. So we receive the Holy Spirit when we allow Jesus into our lives and we accept who Jesus was and what he did and we ask him to be a part of our lives. And once we accept Jesus, he sends his Holy Spirit into our lives. But why does he do that? The Holy Spirit has many names. Comforter, helper, companion, guide, to name just a few of them. Jesus gives us his Holy Spirit to help us navigate through life and to help us in our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts to help us serve God and to deepen our relationship with him and with his people. And it's through the Holy Spirit that our relationship with God, that these fruits can grow within us. As we understand what God wants for our lives, as we understand how he wants us to live and act towards one another and to him. So these fruits can grow and ripen in our lives. You know, the apostles understood the need for the Holy Spirit in their lives. Before they received the Holy Spirit, they were a timid bunch, locked away in fear for their lives. And yet, when Jesus visits them, when they receive the Holy Spirit as promised, they become bold and courageous. They were outspoken and they were tenacious in telling people about Jesus. The apostles became God's mouthpiece to the world. And through them, the church was formed and grew. The apostles received gifts from the Holy Spirit to preach and teach, to heal and bring prophecy. They also grew fruit, love, joy, peace, and the rest of them. This enabled them to keep going in the face of opposition and persecution. That's why we can read stories like the ones we've heard read this morning, of how they can be beaten up, thrown into prison, and yet still sing praises to God because of the gift of joy that God has placed within them. And you know what? It's that same Spirit producing the exact same fruit that is available to each one of us today. How does joy work then? How do we get this gift of joy? I want to have a quick look at how we can experience joy, I guess, for ourselves. Firstly, we can see joy in the disciples. And when we think of disciples, we tend to think of the characters in the Bible, don't we? If I say to you, oh, the disciples, you'll think of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus around. But the term disciple has a broader meaning than just those 12. You know, for us, it simply means those that follow Jesus. So it was those first disciples. And then it was those that kind of followed Jesus around because they believed in his message. And then it was the early church. They became disciples of Jesus because they accepted and believed what the apostles were telling them. So if you follow Jesus, then you are a disciple. Just like the millions of people all through the centuries that have called Jesus their Lord and their Saviour. Some we've read about in the pages of the Bible. Some you've heard about as they gave their lives for Jesus in the face of opposition. Some famous people that we've read about who were Christians, who were disciples of Jesus. But many, I guess, will be faceless and nameless to us. Just people that we know of, or we know because they go to church or whatever, that they are disciples. They're people like you and me who have accepted Jesus, who have received his Spirit and live for him, making a difference to the people around them. So we can see joy in the lives of the disciples around us. Have a look around you. Have a look. These are the disciples. These are lives full of joy. Don't laugh. Lives full of joy. We might not be smiling, but we have got lives full of joy because we have the Holy Spirit within us. Our joy comes from our understanding and our relationship with Jesus. You know, Peter wrote about this as with having the knowledge of Jesus. In 1 Peter 1, 8, he says this. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. When you believe, you get joy. When you receive the Holy Spirit, we have joy. We might not be smiling 24/7, but joy is in us. You know, joy may not be evident in our smiles on our faces, but joy is within us because of our love for Jesus. Joy is not easily shakable, even as we face trials and tough moments in our lives. You know, James, in his letter to the churches scattered around the world, writes this. He writes that we should count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's James 1, 2. We're not told to run from trouble or to avoid difficult moments. We're not told that when we believe in Jesus, nothing bad is ever going to happen to us again. That there's going to be no such difficult times. We're told that they're going to come. We're told to expect trouble. Trouble will come just as it did for Jesus, just as it did for the apostles and those first disciples. But we're told to meet those troubles head on with the joy in our hearts, joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, there's no better example of meeting trials with joy than the example of Jesus, who endured on the cross for us. Hebrews 12 says this, that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus suffered the ultimate, you know, a violent, horrible death on a cross. But he did it with joy in his heart because he knew his Father. If we want to experience that joy, if we want to understand joy, then look at the disciples around you. Look at the disciples through history. Look at the disciples in your Bible. Their joy is found in their understanding of Jesus. So too is yours. Get to know Jesus for yourself and experience a deeper sense of that joy. You know, as you read through the New Testament, you read time and time again of the joy experienced by the writers of the letters as they respond to what they've heard or what they've experienced of what God has been doing through the Holy Spirit in the lives of the followers. Probably one of the best examples of this is the letter to the church in Philippi. It's called Philippians in your Bible, in the New Testament. This letter or book is often referred to as the Book of Joy or the Joy Book. As all through the book, Paul makes reference to his personal joy in what the church is doing, but also the joy that is displayed within the church community. We might study it sometime together as a fellowship. You know, Paul also urges the church family in Philippians to remain in unity with one another and to display unity to those around. He wrote about it. If you haven't read the letter to the Philippians, let me encourage you to read it. It's four chapters, so not a long letter by Paul's standards. Okay, have a look at it. It's amazing how our joy or our reaction to hardship or conflict can have a huge effect on those around us. Our joy can have the effect of bringing joy to others, just like for Paul when he heard about what was going on for other people. Our joy can bring encouragement to those for whom life is tough. It can strengthen those who have doubts, and it can point towards God those who have yet to discover God for themselves. Do not underestimate how your joy, your faith in Jesus, can impact on the lives of those around you, both inside our church family, but also outside in the wider community. You know, Oundle Baptist should be known as a church of joy. People should be able to look at this community and see unity, see love, and see joy. They should see a community comfortable and at ease with itself, a community sure of its identity in Jesus and sure about serving him in all that we do. Wouldn't it be great if someone wrote a letter to the Baptist Church in Oundle and described us as a church of joy? If the letter was also a letter of joy, because our behaviour towards one another and a community around us had had such an impact. Wouldn't that be lovely? We can find joy not only in the stories of the Bible about the disciples. We can find joy and hope from the people around us who live that hope out and encourage us with their joy and their faith. So this morning I want to encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to grow within you the fruit of joy. I want to encourage you to claim joy for yourself. Claim joy from your relationship with God through his Holy Spirit. Claim joy to face the challenges and the triumphs of life with a certainty and faith that comes from a relationship with God. You know, and if you remember nothing else of what I've said this morning, remember that joy is a permanent possession given freely to each one of us from God. Happiness is fleeting. It is dependent on our feelings and the feelings around us. Joy is permanent. Joy stays with us. Once we have it, we don't lose it. Happiness, that comes and goes as our emotions change. If you don't see smiles on the faces of the people around you in church, it may mean that they're not happy. It may mean that life is tough for them at this stage. But it doesn't mean that they don't have joy. So encourage them. Stand beside them. Share your joy with one another. Seek to express joy in your life, in our lives. Seek to express joy in the worship that you give to God. In your singing, in your clapping, in your dancing, in your silence, and in your reflection, in your reading, or in your speaking, or even in your conversations over coffee. OBC is a church of joy. It is a church of joy. Let's not hide it. Let's show it to one another and to the community around us. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the gift of joy that you give us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fruit that you want to grow inside us, to encourage, to enable, to equip us, and to share with one another. Lord God, we pray this morning that you would take this fruit of joy in our lives and you would grow it, that you would deepen us, you would develop us, you would just help us to be people, men and women, that overflow with a sense of joy in what you are doing in our lives. Father God, we want to be able to sing praises at midnight in difficult times. We want to be able to offer our praise and our worship to you at all times, in all circumstances, in whatever way, because we recognize the part that you play in our lives. We recognize all that you've done for us and we respond. So fill us afresh with your joy, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.